Today on Real Radio.
Hey, listen, you want to be free? You want to be truly liberated? There is no greater liberation than to obey God. It sets you free.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues in his look at the book of Joshua. Now, this is the first book after the Pentateuch, and it tells the story of how God's people entered into the Promised Land. Verses 10 through 18 of chapter 1 tell us of Joshua commanding his officers and giving them instruction on what provisions they needed to bring along as they crossed the Jordan. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a lesson called Obey God and Live.
We last week started Joshua in verses 1 through 9. Today, Lord willing, we'll finish the chapter 10 through 18. The book of Joshua. If you weren't here, real quick overview. Joshua is a great name, Yeshua. Joshua in the Greek, it's Jesus. And there are a lot of similitudes regarding our Jesus with this Joshua. And some of those things we touched on. Remember we talked about how Moses had led the children out of Israel? Somewhere around 2.5 million to 3 million Jews following Moses through the wilderness. And shortly after their departure from Egypt, they began to murmur and complain and whine. They began to say things like, "Have you brought us out into this wilderness to kill us? It's hot out here." So God would protect them with a wonderful cloud that was suspended over them in the heat of the day. And then at night when the desert, and you know how the desert can be, our California deserts, even in the hottest of days, there's that cooling off that takes place, drastic change in temperature. They began to whine and complain. So God there not only provided them a pillar of fire to keep them warm, but also to encamp them in safety from the enemy. And God had opened so many wonderful opportunities that they might go just 11 and a half days journey from Egypt to the promised land of Canaan that they were to enter into. And their final point to hurdle would be this Jordan River. And it is to the place now where Joshua has brought them. You see, Moses came to the place to where, and we touched on it last week, where God forbade Moses to take them into the land because he misrepresented God's nature to the people. Remember? There in the wilderness, people were thirsty, and Moses was to smite the rock and out would come water and water the people. But then the second time, as the people were wanting water again, God says, "Moses, speak to the rock. Just talk to the rock, and water will come out." Now, that takes a lot of faith if you ask me to talk to a rock. There used to be people, I don't know whoever bought these things. But people had these rocks that you could buy. Pay good money. Buy a rock. And they had these little pet rocks. And then people are petting these things and talking, giving them names. Well, Moses was to go up to a rock. Everybody's watching. They're thirsty. And Moses, as we mentioned last week, turns to the people and says, "Must we smite this rock again and bring forth water?" And at that point, I would have loved to have heard what was in God's mind. Did God in his mind say, "Moses, is there a mouse in your pocket? What are you talking about, we? I told you to talk to the rock, not smite the rock." But Moses is there, and "Must we hit this rock again? What are we going to do with you guys, you bunch of whiners?" And he smacks that rock, and God, so faithful, produces water for the people, but pulls Mo off to the side and says, "Listen, you've misrepresented me. And for this wrong, you will not enter the kingdom. You will not enter into the land of Canaan." And Moses pleaded with the Lord some three times, but the Lord says, "Moses, I don't want to hear you mention this topic again. I take those who represent me seriously. You misrepresented me. You're not going to go across the Jordan River. But God, in his wonderful gentleness, positioned Moses in such a way that he could see into the promised land. And then the Bible says that God took Moses' life on a mountain near Pisgah. We don't know where that is to this day. They didn't know then either. It's a mystery. Weird little bit of an insert. We do know, according to the New Testament, for whatever this is worth, maybe in the future we'll know. But the Bible tells us that Satan and Michael the archangel fought over the body of Moses once he had died. Strange things. At this point now, Moses, being dead, the baton handed to Joshua, last week, in 9 verses, God encourages him over and over and over again to be strong, to be courageous. In fact, I'll just run over those quickly. In verse 2 of last week, he said, "Arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land that I'm giving them." That's encouraging news to hear. Get up and go. You know, God is saying that to us all the time. Have you heard him? You know you've heard him. He'll say, "Get up and go find an orphan. Get up and go and feed the hungry." I mean, look, he tells me this stuff. I know he's telling you this too. So I'm not in on this thing alone here. If you sit still and listen, he'll talk to you. Last week I asked my daughter, and I'm not supposed to tell you which one because they don't like to be singled out anymore. They don't like all the interrogation that you give them afterward. But I have a daughter who I encouraged to go and to wait upon the Lord, and she kind of stomped off, went to her room, and then went in and took a shower. And I thought, well, she's not waiting much upon the Lord. And then the shower turned off halfway through her lengthy shower, allotted hour of time, and then the shower turned back on. And later she came out, and she had written down on a piece of paper. She came up to me. She goes, "Can I talk to you?" And I said, "Yeah." She goes, "Well, can I talk to you in my room?" I thought, whoa. "Yes, I'll be right there." And walked in there. And she's still wrapped in her towel with her hair dripping. And she had big, big tears in her eyes with a huge smile. And she said, "God spoke to me. I even stopped the shower to write it down." And I said, "Well, quite honestly, sweetheart, you tell me what he said to you, and then I'll tell you if it's him or not. Because if he said that I'm to buy you a new Volkswagen Bug for Christmas, I know it's not him." You see. So tell me what it was. And she began to tell me what the Lord had said to her, and it was dead right on the money. Him. It was absolutely him speaking. She knew it. And Joshua knew it. Moses had died, and God said to Joshua, "Arise and go. We got work to do. We're going to cross over the Jordan." And he was given that command. And he was encouraged with that very command. That builds confidence. Not arrogance, not pride, not self-righteousness, but it builds godly confidence. Yes, it is true we are but dust. Yes, it is true that we are lower than the angels in creation. Yes, we have faults. Yes, we fail. But God has so chosen us to do his work in the earth. I would have used angels or something else, but not humans. God says, "No, I'd love to use," as the Bible says, "foolish things." So you see, those of us who are involved in ministry, Paul teaches us, are the most foolish. There's something a little bit idiot about us. I love what Spurgeon says in his book, Lectures to My Students. If you don't have the book, buy the book. It's a wonderful book. Lectures to My Students, where Spurgeon in there, who is probably the greatest orator that the world has ever heard. This man, even when you read his writings today, which I love to read him every day, his words seem to just come out and almost bathe your soul. He uses words that paints pictures. Charles Spurgeon was talking about how when God speaks and when God leads, he calls this the most divine intercourse of all. But in his book, he mentions how we are so frail. And Spurgeon admits in that own book that oftentimes he's tempted by Satan. Now remember, this is God's man of the day. Often, Spurgeon said, he's tempted with such depression and such a sense of inadequacy that he would fight the thoughts of suicide. That's how hard Satan attacked him. Maybe you feel like not going on, that you can't continue, and maybe you've even escaped and you've come and you're thinking, you know, this is my last ditch effort to maybe hear from God. I remember several Wednesdays ago, we had a man who came to this church, and he had not come here before. He came, looked in the phone book, drove by, came into a communion service. God wound up ministering to him because his plan, later he told me, was to go to this service, take communion. He was a Christian, swallowed up in defeat. He was going to ask God to forgive him, and he was going to head out into the desert. He had a gun in his car, and he was going to kill himself. He was so depressed. And that night, God changed his heart. Hey, maybe your heart is so low, and you're so down, and you're so depressed, and you're so under the gun, so to speak, that you can't continue. There, for some reason, God is speaking to Joshua, and he's saying in chapter 1, be encouraged. Be strong, be confident. He said in verse 3, every place of the soul that your foot shall tread upon will be your land. That's encouraging. Yesterday, I had a lot happening in my life yesterday, too much. It was an abnormal day. From yesterday morning, from 9 o'clock on till about 9 o'clock last night, I had gone a little over 200 miles. On a day that is normally, I'm locked in my room with my computer and my books, and I love it. And all along the way, I'm thinking, Lord, you've interrupted my life this weekend for a purpose. I want to let you know I don't like it. I want to be at my study. I want to be with my books. I want to be with you. And God had another plan. And in your life, God may interrupt. Every place that the sole of your foot treads, Christian, are you Christian this morning? Are you born again Christian? Do you know your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life and you're going to heaven? Every place that the sole of your foot treads upon, he's with you. I got news for you. Every place where the sole of your foot treads, he's with you. You mean last week during my backsliding when I went to Joe's Bar and Grill, he was with me? Oh, yeah. He was with you. Oh, that's the last thing I want to hear. It's too bad. He owns you. He loves you. He's absolutely committed to you. That day, that night, that weekend, that Monday night, whatever it was in your life, wherever, when you said, Jesus, I'm asking you to come into my life and save me and make me your own child. You may doubt, or you may have doubted, or you may be doubting your sincerity about that commitment, but he took you very seriously. So seriously that he said in chapter 1, verse 5, no man shall be able to stand against you all the days of your life as I was with Moses. I'm going to be with you. Well, that's encouraging. In the next sentence he says, I will not leave you or forsake you. Don't you want to hear that? Every day, somebody tell me, I'll never leave you or forsake you, says God. Oh, man, that's good news. That is such good news. And last week in verses 6 and on, more encouragement. Be strong, God told him. Be of good courage. Only be strong, he says. Very courageous. Why? That you may observe to do according to all my law. The law of God, the commandments of God. What is your concept? What is your feeling? Listen, what do you think about when I mention law? You might say, well, I was brought up in a very legalistic church. And when I hear the word law, it makes me almost stand up straight. Okay. That's common for a lot of people. What about the word submit? I love saying submit in a Christian audience. They just kind of go, they're having a good time. They just had breakfast. They're here. Could be you. And you're fine with this. And then I mention the word submit. And you go, why is this? You can mention the word submit. People kind of seize up. You can mention the word obey. People go, what? Hey, listen, you want to be free? You want to be truly liberated? Listen, there is no greater liberation than to obey God. It sets you free. Example, remember, when you obeyed the demands of your flesh and of your lust, what did it do? Did it lead you to freedom or did it lead you to bondage? It led us to bondage. Oh, but I really want to do this thing. Well, why would you wrap chains around your neck and put a ball on your foot and not be able to move anymore? Why would you sequester your life into a beggarly nothingness, just existing? That's how many of us lived outside of Christ. God turns and says to us this morning, as he said to Moses, as he says to Joshua, and we're going to hear from the people themselves this morning, we will obey. It's almost a dirty statement in this world that we live in. To obey. I did a wedding yesterday. Do you pledge to love, honor, and obey? Now, the two people that got married, they're Christians. And they're so fun. They're a young couple, so cute. I don't even think they heard the vows. They're just... And you would have thought they'd seen each other for the first time in their life. And then, finally, when I said, Joshua, his name was Joshua, by the way, you may kiss your bride. And they're just... And I thought they were done. And he goes, I love you. She goes, I love you too. I love you so much. I love you so much too. So great. Encouraging. God wants to encourage us. I personally believe, I searched the Hebrew, I've done everything I can. I can't find this out for sure, so the next part I'm going to make up. I have learned in my life that when God speaks to me and when he says, be strong, you be encouraged. It's because I'm not being strong and I'm not very encouraged. That's why he says it to me. I'm wondering if Joshua, who was a man who needed to hear all these things, what do you think? I think he needed to hear it. Can you imagine inheriting 2.5 million whiners from Moses? Joshua, they're all yours. No, that's not true, because these were their children now. All the whiners had died off. These were their kids. The kids learned not to whine. This is a good group of people here. They're excited. And so I think Joshua was a man that needed to hear what we heard last week. Why? It transforms us, changes us. How do we know? Follow along with me in verse 10. Then Joshua, you want to mark it, please? Commanded the officers of the people, saying, pass through the camp, and here it comes again, command the people, saying, prepare provisions for yourselves, for within 3 days you will cross over this Jordan to go and to possess the land which the Lord your God has given you to possess. And the Reubenites, the Gadites, and half the tribe of Manasseh, Joshua spoke to them, and he said this to them, remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded, there's that word, you, saying, the Lord your God is giving you rest and giving you this land. Your wives and your little ones and your livestock shall remain in the land which Moses gave you on this side of the Jordan. It's a different side. It's the eastward side. But you shall pass before your brethren armed, all the mighty men of valor, and you'll help them until the Lord has given your brethren rest, as he has given you, and they also have taken possession of the land which the Lord your God is giving them. Then you shall return to the land of your possession and enjoy it, which Moses, the Lord's servant, gave you on this side of the Jordan toward the sunrise. And listen to what the people said. And they answered Joshua and they said, all that you command, there's that word, us, we will do everywhere or wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we heeded Moses in all things, so we will heed you. Only the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And whoever rebels against your command and does not heed your words in all that you command him, shall he be put to death. Only be strong and of good courage. Wow. Hey, these people have a heart to enter in, don't they? Real quick, and we'll kind of get it out of the way. What's with these three groups of people, these tribes? Manasseh, Gad, and Reuben. What's with these guys? Why are they going to stay on the eastern side? Way back in Deuteronomy, it was voiced by them that they would like to stay on that side of the land. And Moses responded back to them and said, so stay on that side of the land. I'm cutting the story short because of time. So God says, I'll give that to them. They can stay on this side. The rest of the group enter in over to the other side. But Jack, he said last week that the Jordan River is a type of being under the law, going through the Jordan, a conversion experience, and walking in the new walk of the Christian faith. Oh yeah, that's true. Just by way of review, don't think that crossing the Jordan into Canaan land is, as some of the old hymns teach us, going into heaven. Because if it's going into heaven, who wants to go there? There's giants living in the land. There's a lot of evil people. And God is sending them into that land to not only take the land that he had promised to Abraham in chapter 12, there in the record, but they were going to have to fight this battle and get these usurpers of the land out. But God was in it all. Nothing's easy that means anything in this life. Well, we're gonna venture out, Pastor Jack. We feel like the Lord is leading us. That's great. Yeah, and he's given us these verses. Awesome. Yeah, we're gone for it. And then all of a sudden, you know, a bomb goes off 3 feet away from them. Oh, no. What's happened? It's called ministry. This is it. This is going on the front line. And I'll use the word that I used when I was a little kid. I could never figure out the word scared and afraid. To me, they meant the same thing. And so when that bomb goes off in ministry, you might say, I'm a scared. When I was a little kid and I was afraid, I'd go, I'm a scared. People would say, no, the word is scared. Or no, the word is afraid. Hey, when you were scared like I was and so afraid, you would say, I'm a scared. Sounds like some little country bumpkin, huh? I'm a scared. In this Christian life, there are battles. I don't know how God does it, but in the midst of all of the battles, I wouldn't change a thing. You mean all the terrible things that you're going through, you wouldn't change it? No, I've only been a Christian for 20 years. That's not long concerning the Christian walk. But I've learned something. He never leaves us or forsakes us. And sometimes, usually, most of the time, you hear him the most when things look the worst. None of your friends can help. Nobody's answering the phone on the other end. You're paging and beeping everybody you know, and there's deaf ears. That's when you find God very big and very present in your situation.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at Joshua chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. It's an account of Joshua commanding his military officers just a few days before crossing the Jordan. And the title of the study is Obey God and Live. Isn't that a great title? It's part of Pastor Jack's verse-by-verse examination of this very interesting historical book, which will continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can catch Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. Now, the name of our half-hour television program is Journey with Jack Hibbs, and it airs on hischannel.com. Also, on Wednesday evenings on hischannel.com, there's a broadcast of Pastor Jack's midweek study live. That's hischannel.com, 7:30 p.m., that's Pacific Coast time. We also have a link to his channel at our own realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. And our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. And Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.